Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT on FM News 101.
Hey everybody, welcome to the nation. That would be the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Oklahoma Clay today. Yeah, my old buddy from Oklahoma sitting in for Reynolds this week. We are high atop the radio world here in Portland and say hi to all of our affiliates down the line on the Radio Northwest Network. We're only about 40 days away until the election, and like I said last week, that has absolutely nothing to do with today's shows, but I just thought I'd bring it up again. When I say the words Deep South, and Clay's from Oklahoma, what comes to your mind? To me, it's like magnolia trees, hot, humid days, college football. I spent a lot of time like in Georgia and Louisiana and places. But today on the nation, we're very pleased to welcome a Southern boy that is living in London and working there, Brad McDonald. Brad's a very well-known chef. He was, like I said, born in the South, actually in Mississippi. And Brad has a new cookbook out called Deep South, New Southern Cooking. And we'll be talking with Brad in just a minute. The music today, of course, being it's a Southern-themed show, is our buddies from Lynyrd Skynyrd. And that music will never fade. So let's get on with it and talk to Brad here. Brad, welcome to the show.
Good to be here. Thank you, Jeff.
Not a problem. So I guess the first obvious question is, what is a boy from Mississippi doing in London?
A sense of adventure. That's allowed, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, just a love for travel. We had some friends here, and it made the move really easy for us to just sort of hop over and already have a bit of a sense of community very quickly when we got here. So we didn't feel like we were risking too much by hopping over the Atlantic. And, 3 years on, things are going well.
Well, good for you. Now, you Hurricane Sandy kind of messed with you and your business. Is that correct?
Yeah, we went through some troubles there, you could say.
Yeah.
About four and a half feet of troubles, destroyed a restaurant that was about 4 months old and destroyed some spirits at the same time. But we picked ourselves up since then. And that was a huge part of the shift, for the move to London.
Yeah.
Gave us a chance to, so it's a bit of a silver lining. It gave us a chance to uproot and check out some other parts of the earth.
So before we get into the stuff in the book and why you wrote it and all those things, you've started a new restaurant, now it's not brand new, but in London there. And how is that being received, especially the Southern food?
Southern food is, I'll tell you what, like, it's interesting. We have some really diehard fans, and then we have some people who come in and they get upset because we don't serve French fries. So there's a, there's still a stigma that we're fighting against with the perception of Southern food and American food in general. And we really push hard against the grain of that, mostly to being well received. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I understand. And well, I've been to London and I've eaten British food a time or two, and I got to say, it might be a very welcome change to a lot of those people.
Well, you know what? I say in the last 10 years, British food has seen a massive transformation. And I think that London right now, particularly East London, is one of the, I hate to use this word, but kind of one of the most, I was going to say hottest, but maybe one of like the most exciting places to, that you could go and eat. I mean, the concentration of the quality of cooking, and the ingredients is not what you would expect from a culture that is sort of thought of as eating brown food, and, you know, fish and chips and not really having a lot of color. But, you know, there are some of the finest ingredients that I've ever worked with. There's a game season that runs from August until January. There's, you know, access to wild food, on all corners of the country. It really is just a phenomenal place to be cooking.
So it's not just boiled or baked anymore over there.
You can get that. Trust me, there's still plenty of that around. And when you leave London, with all due respect to, you know, to the fact that I've been given a visa to live here, but when you leave London, it gets harder to eat better. I'll say that.
Yes.
You know, you can still eat okay. You can still eat okay, but you know, that's true of the U.S. as well. In many places, when you leave the bigger cities, it becomes harder to eat fresher and cleaner and deliciously.
Well, that is true. That is true. I mean, you just don't have the access. They don't have the transportation. They don't. They just can't get it fast enough, so to speak.
That's it.
Yeah, Brad, what possessed you to write this book? Was it a melancholy thing, missing home, or was it just a labor of love? Or, I mean, it's a great book. We're going to talk way deep into it, but you obviously didn't whip this out in 60 days.
They wanted me to. Yeah. I took a little bit longer than that. I'll say that. I started cooking Southern food here because it felt like a good voice to have in London. Whereas a lot of the style of cooking that I was doing in Brooklyn before moving here was sort of much more contemporary, much more along the lines of kind of what you would see going on in East London right now. And in order to sort of not end up being just another small fish in a big pond, I decided to change course and for the first time cook from my heritage, which professionally was the first time that I sort of tackled this kind of food in a restaurant outside of family meal. And the book came shortly after just because we received a lot of instant praise for it at the Lockhart, which was our restaurant in Marylebone, which actually we ended up selling and moving on from in order to concentrate on our barbecue restaurant, Shotgun, this summer. Rest in peace, such nature of business. But yeah, I decided to write this book because I felt like the English audience needed a book on Southern food that was capable of expanding more on the culture and really what to expect from this kind of cuisine. I don't want to go back to the French fry concept or comment again, but in truth, you know, when folks think of the South, they do think of fried chicken and collard greens and soul food and barbecue and, you know, slow cooked meals that are really heavy on you. And I guess I didn't stray too far from that in the book. I didn't refine the food too much, but I think it was important for them to hear a story about it. So this was a book on Southern food written for, you know, for an English audience. No, when I say English, I mean a UK audience.
Yeah, know. No, I mean, it's great. And that's one of the things I like about it because, you know, so many cookbooks get out there and they just kind of say, you know, here's a little bit about the author and they trained under this person or they did this in their life. And here's 155 recipes and that's it. And I like the way that you put the book together to explain a lot of things to people. And that was very important. So,
yeah, we were committed from the very beginning to telling a story that was and creating a book that belonged as much on a coffee table as it could in your kitchen. You know, I chose a specific designer who I know could help us accomplish that, and I think it's a gorgeous book. I think it looks far better than the material that I put inside of it.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's turned out to be something that we are really proud of, but yeah, lifting the veil on what the, you know, the sort of stereotypes about Southern culture and Southern food could be. And we took I took a lot of inspiration. I still take a lot of inspiration from Edna Lewis, the Southern chef, and her books, particularly The Taste of Country Cooking, was a real driver for me to want to sort of lay out a book that told a story through the seasons, but also as much through the culture.
There you go. Hey, we're going to take a break here. We're going to be back with Brad McDonald and his new book. Brad's coming to us from London today, by the way. Deep South, New Southern Cooking. And we'll be back in a couple minutes and visit more with Brad McDonald. Don't go away.
It's full-flavored radio, Barbecue Nation with JT on FM News 101.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network and KXL here in downtown Portland. Real quickly, we would like to thank the Mount Angel Sausage Company for their support of the famous Quack Shack down at the Home of the Ducks. I cook down there. As you know, the Mount Angel Sausage Company has been kind enough by letting the folks at the shack sample a wide variety of their sausage and cured meats. And we thank James Hoke and his family out there for supporting us there. By the way, if you want to email us, you can do it at barbecuenation@kxl.com. That's the letters bbqnation@kxl.com or recipes@kxl.com. And if you want to do Facebook, you can do barbecuenation/withJT. At facebook.com and say hi to our affiliates today, KBKR in Baker City and KACI in Hood River and the Dalles. And we are talking with Brad McDonald live from London here. He's got a new book out called Deep South, The New Southern Cooking. Is that like the Mason-Dixon line on the, or is that just a river, or what is that on the cover of the book there, Brad?
That is the Mississippi River.
Mississippi River? Okay. I couldn't quite figure out what it was, but
a portion of it.
Yeah.
A portion of the Mississippi border of the Mississippi River.
Okay. So let's get into, you have a lot of good stuff here, and you cover an awful lot of things in your book. I mean, you cover everything from, you know, canning pickles to smoking a whole hog and that. What's your favorite, if I could be so bold as to ask you, what's your favorite recipe in this book?
The one that I can never put down has to be the fried chicken. And I know that sounds so cliche, but, I just think that we do a really, really phenomenal fried chicken.
It sounds like it. I mean, I looked at, that's one of the recipes I read, you know, kind of stem to stern and looked at that. And I thought, you know what, that's going to be like a Sunday dinner for me coming up very soon. Again, a very cliche Sunday dinner fried chicken, you know, because I grew up on a ranch, but it is very good. Let's talk a little bit about seafood for a second. I know it's probably tough to get certain types of seafood in London versus what you had down in the South, but also here in the Northwest, you know, we are a great big area of seafood. We have lots of fresh crab and salmon and shrimp and scallops and clams and all those kinds of things. Is there a difference to you, Brad, in like cooking different types of, you know, if you've got shrimp in Mississippi in the Deep South, or if you've got shrimp in London, do you have to be careful? Any difference in the way you prepare them?
You know, not too different, to be honest with you, because a lot of the prawns that we're getting here will have a similar flavor profile and look, let's be honest. You know, there's a season for fresh shrimp, and it's very short here in the UK. So a lot of the product that we're getting, is something that we've secured stock in for, you know, 2 or 3 quarters ahead of time.
Sure.
So it is, you know, sort of, flash frozen product that's being pulled from, frozen directly on the boat. But in regards to other sort of flatfish and even crab, there's phenomenal crab here. I'll say that one difference, and you might notice this in the dirty rice recipe in the book, is that the crabs here, the meat is, it's all right, but it's not as sweet as sort of what you would expect from a blue swimmer crab, or, you know, maybe even as sort of like meaty as a good Dungeness crab. And right. what they really pride over here is the brown crab meat that comes from within inside the females, which is obviously something that you could use to make a beautiful she crab soup, because it's just super protein rich and full of all those organs and eggs and, you know, reproductive thingies
yep.
inside of the crab, which just intensifies the flavor. So you would commonly use brown crab meat over sort of picked leg crab meat here, which is definitely a difference between how you approach it in the U.S.
Right. Now, we're pretty spoiled out here with the Dungeness. I mean, yeah. they're always fat, sweet, and full of meat, so to speak. And, you know, I use them in a lot of my recipes and stuff. Anyway, another thing you talk about, and we've got about 3 minutes before we go to break again, but you're very open about something that maybe in some parts of the world are not too popular. They're very popular here where we are. Then you were talking about hunting and harvesting and the utilization of the entire carcass and things like that. How is that, from my understanding, real quickly, that's not a very popular subject in London.
I guess maybe you're referencing that there have been a couple of groups lately that are protesting and a certain chef that's opening a restaurant in Soho. People are concerned about the welfare of animals, and we are as well.
Sure.
Where we differ is that I'm an omnivore, and I operate a restaurant that seeks to feed omnivores. And we treat our product with the most respect that we possibly can. And what I was trying to convey in the book is that hunting is a very primal act, and it's not something that I'm ashamed of necessarily.
No.
There are people dying in the streets. Like, let's not get too bent out about an act that humans have been up to for thousands of years, and the fact that we're doing it for subsistence. So that when we kill an animal, we need to be aware that we can cook everything deliciously from tip to tail. And stating that and writing that down as a manifesto and saying that's part of the way we approach our cooking is it's not so much an apology or an excuse. It's just sort of, hey, look, we do know what we're doing here. And, you know, you may not like this act. You might think it's barbaric. But when we're doing it, we're doing it with respect to our culture, to our forefathers, we're doing it with respect to the animal and nature and the environment around. And then, you know, there's something to be said about people kind of forgetting where their food comes from as well. living in modern times, you know, that we need to just kind of wake up and realize that this is the circle of life.
Absolutely. Brad, we're going to take another quick break. We're going to be back with Brad McDonald from London, talking more about his new book, Deep South, New Southern Cooking. I had to say it right. Okay. So we're going to take a break. We're going to be back in just about 2 or 3 minutes here on Barbecue Nation.
Got a question for JT? Call him right now at 503-417-9KXL or 877-733-1011.
All right, welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network and KXL here in downtown Portland. We're talking with Brad McDonald on his new book, The Deep South. It's not The Deep South. It's Deep South, New Southern Cooking. Brad's coming to us from London today. By the way, before we get back to Brad, really quick, this week's winner of the smoker box given to us by Smokehouse Products is Gary, and I'm not going to pronounce your name right, but I think it's Gary Heimel. And so we'll be in contact with Gary and get him that smoker box, courtesy of Bear Mountain Forest Products and the people at Smokehouse Products. They're actually one and the same. Back with Brad McDonald here. Brad, how do you find the baking difference? Southern baking, like I said, I've spent a lot of time in the South. I love the you know, of course, pecan pie, that goes without saying. But, you know, in your book, you cover cinnamon rolls and a number of things there. How different is that to what you first found when you got to London?
The toughest part was the conversion of flour, because American flour has far more protein content in it than you find in sort of regular European flours over here. So that's something that you need to be careful with when you're using recipes in the book.
Uh-huh.
The European process of bread baking is to allow for long fermentations. The process of baking breads in the South and across America have been to sort of have quick breads, you know, more in an Irish fashion, sort of bread, or as you know, buttermilk biscuits, or the zucchini bread that we've listed in the book.
Sure,
there are differences. There are differences and nuances. But I've found that English people love a bit of sweet cake, you know, so it fits right in.
One of the things I really liked about your book too is, and it makes sense, of course, is you not only give your measurements for your recipes in grams, but then you convert it to, you know, pounds and ounces too. So smart move on your part there, buddy. And works pretty good.
Well, look, I'm not going to shy away from using a scale. It's the best way to get accuracy when you're cooking. And you know, these recipes, as all recipes are, they're formulas, but when you cook them, you need to, you know, be using your five senses at the same time and notice, because they're written here in London. They might cook differently in Portland, in Seattle, in, you know, Denver, or even, let's say, Atlanta, Georgia.
Sure.
You've got to have a sense about the ingredients that you're cooking with.
Okay. So, Brad, we do this little thing on the show called the Lightning Round. And it's a bunch of kind of abstract questions. Some of them are relevant. Some of them are not. Are you up to playing?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay, hit the music. All right. Brad McDonald, this is your lightning round here on Barbecue Nation. Brad, what have you learned so far after you've written this book? How has that changed things for you?
What have I learned? That writing is the hardest thing in the world to do. cooking seems so much easier when you have to write a book.
Absolutely. I've written a book and I can vouch for you, you know, on that deal. How long did it take you when you were learning to cook not to, quote, peek under the lid, if you follow me there?
Probably twice the number of times that I'd get my hands whacked by my sous chef.
Okay. Which of these things would you rather barbecue, grill, or smoke? A Thanksgiving turkey, a Yule log, a Christmas goose, or the Easter bunny?
Ooh. How about let's deep fry a turkey?
There you go. Okay. If we declared Brad McDonald supreme ruler of barbecue for 1 week, what would you, as supreme ruler, decree?
I would decree that. That is a stump the chump question. About barbecue, I would say that people need to understand that barbecue does not have to be served piping hot.
There you go. What is the dumbest thing you've ever seen done with a grill or a stove, Brad?
I've seen a lot of dumb things done with a stove or a grill. Let's see. I guess fire is the easy answer.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. I once worked with a chef who left a sheet pan on top of an induction oven one time, and it burnt. And this was at a 4-star restaurant in New York, and it burnt straight through and welded itself onto the tabletop.
That's not good. Where's the worst place you ever had to cook?
The worst place I've ever had to cook.
Yeah.
I would say, you mean city or like actual kitchen?
Location, any location. Because usually the follow-up question for this is, have you ever cooked outside in the snow in your underwear? So
no.
You can answer either one of those.
I've catered some parties in some well under-equipped tents outside in the countryside.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Because you do cover some barbecue and, like I said, cooking a whole hog and stuff in your book, so these questions are sort of relevant to you. For someone that's new to barbecue or grilling or cooking, what would you recommend them to start with as far as their first kind of experimental dish?
Interesting. Well, I recently tried to talk my best friend through cooking a pork shoulder, and somehow he failed miserably. I don't think that was my fault. I think it was probably Boo's fault. But you know what? I would say either a pork shoulder or maybe a pork belly, because that can be a forgiving piece.
I was going to say, how can you really screw up cooking a pork shoulder? I mean, that's one of the most forgiving cuts of meat to cook, I think. For me, anyway.
And I should send you the screenshots of everything I told him. I mean, he was set up for success, but I don't know.
Okay, fill in the blank here, Brad. Liquid smoke should be used for blank.
Cleaning the toilet.
Ah, yay, good. That's the right answer. Usually, there's no right answers to these questions, but that one is right. What's the worst concert you ever attended?
Indigo Girls.
Oh God, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's I feel for you, brother. Cook kale or poi?
Kale.
Okay. Led Zeppelin or Tom Jones?
Zeppelin.
Good man. He's on it. Cadillac or Prius?
I don't know though, but If there's anyone listening English, I have respect for the Welshman.
You want to say that again?
That's all right.
Okay. What cooking skill took you the longest to master?
Vegetables.
Vegetables? Okay. I think that's, you know, that's kind of a
genre?
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, my mother used to just cook the holy crap out of vegetables, and so they were always kind of soggy and droopy, and she was a great cook, but for some reason, she just could never, like, get carrots, you know, still crisp or crunchy on the inside, but tender and moist on the outside or anything like that. I mean, that was just, we had soggy spinach. That's why I don't eat spinach anymore. So, there you go.
Mm.
Yeah.
Although I'm still trying to master a soup dumpling, a xiaolong bao, so maybe that should be my answer.
Well, there you go. That's okay. What we got? 1 minute left? Okay, we got 1 minute left of the lightning round here before we go to break. How long did it take you to learn what the customer wants?
I'm still learning what the customer wants.
Okay. Is that a
constant battle?
Is that a constant battle?
I think I'm exaggerating. I try to give our customer what I feel they want. How's that?
Okay. Worst seafood you ever ate?
Worst seafood I ever ate. Pass.
You gonna pass on that one?
Yeah. It's been years since I've had really bad seafood.
Okay. Brad McDonald, you passed the lightning round today. And folks, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back to wrap up the show with Brad McDonald, talk a little more about his book, Deep South, New Southern Cooking, right after this.
To fetch my woman, people, try, should it, should I come?
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT on FM News 101.
All right, welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network and KXL in beautiful downtown Portland. My guest today, and it's been a lot of fun with him, Brad McDonald, who's coming to us live from London. He's got a new book out, Deep South, New Southern Cooking. I mean, this is a great book. This is a book I'm going to recommend to all our listeners, Brad, because it's It's got a lot of really good recipes in it, and it's got a lot of fun in it as far as the story. So there you go. You get my endorsement on this one, buddy.
Thank you, man. Yeah, Appreciate it.
No problem. So you wanted to you wanted another shot at the lightning round real quick because we've got about 2 minutes before we got to wrap up here. the worst seafood you ever ate?
It wasn't the worst. The most texturally challenged was cod sperm in Kyoto, Japan earlier this year.
Really? You should see the look. You should see the look on Clay's face when you said that. He was like, "What?" Oh my God! So, what is real quickly? What is writing this book, besides it being hard to write? What has it taught you?
I have to say, and this hope this doesn't sound cheesy, but sort of like a deeper respect and love for the culture that I grew up in, because, you know, I've always been an adventurer and am really only a half-blood Southerner because my mother is from Pennsylvania. And I always wanted to get away from the South because I could only see the bad things about it that surrounded me. But it brought me back home in a way that allowed me to sort of see the goodness and the depth of culture and the food renaissance that's going on there now. And also, I strongly believe the cultural renaissance that's happening as well.
Yeah. And you know, things change, things pass, things go. And, sometimes coming back home isn't that bad. That's what I'm going to say. So,
cause I agree.
I've done that, you know, and one thing I want to tell you too, that I really liked about your book, the pie crust, you use lard. That's the pie crust I grew up on. That's the pie crust I actually make, for all the stuff I do. It's got lard in it, buddy.
That's a pie crust we all need to get back to.
That's the one there. And your section on the porch, I think that kind of wraps up a lot of things as far as, you know, like I said, to me, I didn't grow up in the South, but I spent a lot of time there. But things were always a touch slower, especially when, you know, if you got outside of Atlanta or Jacksonville or something and you were out in the smaller burbs, it was a little slower. But it was a quality of life, too, there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to slow it down. You got to put life in perspective. It can't always be sort of, you know, the drive for more wealth and more power or whatever it's going to be. You know, take this book, cook a couple of recipes, take some time. And if you have a front porch, if you're blessed enough to have a front porch, sit on it for all of us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No. This is, well, my front porch is kind of narrow, but my back porch is very large. And so, I'm going to be doing some of your recipes here, and I'll be giving you reports on it via email and stuff, because I think it's great. And I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to recommend this book to our listeners. It's well worth it.
There it is.
Yeah.
Endorsements.
You love it. Well, even if it's just for your own fried chicken recipe in there, I mean, just some very basic stuff, but you got some great things in here besides the desserts. You know, the seafood, the, you know, kind of the red eye gravy type dishes and things you can do. And one of the things that I do dearly love is fried catfish with hush puppies.
And 100%.
And you've got one of the best recipes I've seen ever on that. So
thank you.
Yeah, it's really good. Well, how does your wife put up with you living in London now?
Oh, she was half the reason we moved here. She's lived in more areas of the world than I have. Her sense of adventure is twice as big as mine. And, you know, she had lived here previously, so it was attractive to her as well. So it's not, she puts up with me, but in other ways, not because we live in London.
I got it. Brad McDonald, I thank you very much, my friend, for being with us today on Barbecue Nation. It's a great book, Deep South, The New Southern Cooking. I know you can find it at Powell's Bookstore and Barnes & Noble's and those kinds of places. And we hope to talk to you again, Brad.
I really appreciate your time. Thanks, Jeff.
No problem. Take care. Hey, folks, we're running out of time here on the show this week. I want to thank again Brad McDonald. Be sure and check out his new book online, Deep South, New Southern Cooking. It's got some great stuff in it. Also like to thank Oklahoma Clay for sitting in for Reynolds today. He did a great job with us. McGarian's on deck as usual, and Bushlack, he's coming up right behind us. check us out at Barbecue Nation here at KXL.com. And you can also check out my other website, which is thecowboycook.com. Remember my motto here, turn it, don't burn it. Take care, everybody.
Barbecue Nation is produced by Alpha Media USA in association with JTSD Productions, LLC. All rights reserved, copyright 2016. Barbecue Nation is managed skillfully by Reynolds in production compound 4 high above the skyline of PDX, the one with no windows. We'll be back next week with another entertaining and fun edition of Barbecue Nation. At least, that's what we believe. Remember, a good long smolder is better than a 2-minute flameout. See you next week.